Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First to Storm Isha, which has left a trail of destruction across the country. Two people died on the roads, a man in his 40s in County Mayo and a woman in her 20s in County Louth. Now, currently the ESB have confirmed there are 235,000 homes, farms and businesses without power around the country. Trees are down and roads are flooded. There's a yellow wind warning in place until 7 o'clock this evening for counties Clare, Donegal, Galway, Leitrim, Mayo and Sligo. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from some of the counties worst affected. But first, I'm joined from Met Éireann by Gerry Murphy, meteorologist. Gerry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So the red wind warning for Donegal, Mayo and Galway, that ended at 1 o'clock this morning. Where were the highest winds and when did the storm peak?
The storm peaked through yesterday evening and the early part of the night. So the absolute highest wind was recorded at Macehead in County Galway, and that was a mean wind, a 10-minute wind of 98 kilometres per hour and a gust of 137 kilometres per hour, both of which are within the red warning criteria. And that was yesterday evening in County Galway. And then as the stronger winds moved further to the north, then the peak of the winds in the north in Donegal at Malinhead were again a gust of 133 kilometres per hour at 11 p.m, which was at night. And then the storm then did move off, the wind still very strong for a time and then gradually abating overnight and today. But having said that, it is still a very blustery day out there. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, there are the yellow warnings for those western counties.
Yes, and we're not out of the woods even when we get to the end of today, are we?
No, we actually have another very windy event on the way for tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. So in the past hour, we've issued yellow level wind warnings for western counties from noon tomorrow right the way up until during well into the night. And then for the rest of the country from tomorrow evening at 5 p.m, a blanket yellow level wind warning right across the country until about 4 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And again, we check for updates on these through the day, but another very windy night in store tomorrow night.
So a significant wind event is how you characterise that, but not a storm. Would that be right at this stage?
At this stage, but as I said, do stay tuned for updates as we go through the day. But regardless of what we categorise it as, it's not going to be as strong as what Isha was. And if it will be impactful tomorrow evening, tomorrow night, predominantly over the northern half of the country and especially in coastal counties, Galway, Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal. But the one tomorrow night could be a significant enough event within itself, because due to the extremely strong winds from Storm Isha, certain trees would have fallen, certain structures would have been, we would have had visible damage, but there could be weakening of structures, weakening of trees. So even a lesser event could bring further significant impacts tomorrow night. So mm-hmm. tomorrow night is still definitely a noticeable weather event.
But the storm has moved on at this point and left us. It's somewhere around Norway now, is it?
Yes, it's tracking up over Norway and will continue to weaken as it does so. We ourselves and possibly parts of Scotland bore the brunt of the strongest winds off Storm Isha. And I did hear a report that through last night at its peak, it was the strongest storm on the planet during the night last night.
Okay, extraordinary. And how likely are we to see more storms like this developing over the coming weeks? Because those conditions, it seems as though they're becoming more frequent. How typical are they?
Well, obviously, this winter has been a very active winter with regard to storms. You must remember that the winter of 2022 into 2023, we didn't have any named storms at all. So it's going to vary from year to year. But this is a very active winter with regard to Atlantic storms. And we've had several storms. Some of them were predominantly rainfall events, but the two that were predominantly wind events were Storm Debbie, which did bring quite a lot of destruction over the northern half of the country, especially the northeast, but it was more localised. And then this storm, Storm Isha, was a very, what we'd call a standard Atlantic storm. The depression developed in the Atlantic, the depression centre moved to the north of the country, and it gave these very, very strong winds right across the country. So, and we often would get at least one or two of these very typical big storms per winter. For the coming weeks, there is more wet, windy weather in store. Whether some of them will develop into actual storms or not has yet to be told, but nonetheless, still very wet, windy weather in store.
Now, we had wind speeds in Mayo, Galway and Donegal that were commensurate with a red warning, but I know a lot of people from Sligo were commenting online and wondering last night why they weren't included in that red warning. Can you explain that, Gerry?
Yes, I can. The red warning criteria is basically, when I mentioned the actual peak winds there, they did occur at coastal stations in Galway, Mayo, Donegal. The wind predominantly was from the southwest. Now, when the wind is from the southwest, there is a sheltering effect in Sligo Bay. If the wind was directly from the west or the northwest, then Sligo Bay gets the full hit. So for westerly winds, Sligo Bay can get the full hit of the winds. But predominantly through the period of the storm, the winds were coming from the southwest, which meant that the it meant that the indications were that Sligo would be in the orange rather than the red, because there is a slight sheltering effect when the wind comes from that direction.
Mm-hmm. But what actually happened when it came to wind speeds in Sligo?
Well, what happened? Well, I haven't the specific detail, but there was one very significant gust in Sligo Airport, and that gust was an extremely very strong gust. I haven't the exact figure just to hand, but basically, a gust and a localized gust. Yes, that can happen, and it still was very much. Sligo was very much warned of the storm. It's just, as I said, when we go with the red, we tend to go for any of the warnings. It's you enter the warning criteria on the basis of a wide area, but that doesn't say that an isolated gust in that category cannot occur.
Mm-hmm. So the message for today is keep an eye on what's coming from Met Éireann, because we do have this yellow wind warning coming into operation tomorrow, but that may develop, is what you're saying.
It may develop in western and northern counties, but it will not be developed into anything more for the rest of the country. It's not as big an event, but nonetheless, it is a significant wind event and could cause some significant impacts due to the fact that perhaps structures and trees are already weakened.
Gerry, thank you very much. Gerry Murphy there from Met Éireann. Well, Chris McNulty is with us, a reporter with the Donegal Democrat. Chris, good morning to you. And you were in that part of the country where we had the red weather warning until 1 o'clock this morning. How bad did things get overnight in Donegal?
It was pretty bad, Claire. I mean, just a scene of sort of widespread destruction right across Donegal this morning. You know, there's not one part of Donegal that has avoided any sort of damage. I mean, there's just a series of trees, electrical poles, power lines down from Malinhead to Mundoran and from west to east. East Donegal, every town and village in Donegal has been affected by this. I just said to sort of one of your producers off air this morning, it's the worst storm that I've ever seen. You know, I mean, we've heard weather alerts quite regularly over the last number of years, but this was really new level stuff. And this morning, tens of thousands still without power right across Donegal.
And what has the ESB said to those people about when it might be back?
Well, they're saying and have said since last night that it could be as late as 6 o'clock this evening before power is fully restored. And I suppose in the first instance, the ESB have responded to the dangerous sort of incidents where power lines have come down, poles have come down, and actually where the lines are still alive. I mean, and Garda Síochána actually issued an update last night in a couple of areas to say that sparks were actually flying and the situation quite dangerous. You know, I mean, you can imagine people maybe driving along the road and coming along this and possibly coming into contact with it. And that actually happened on a couple of locations across Donegal last night.
And are the schools open today?
They are in some areas, Claire, but in many areas they've been left with no choice because they've been without power this morning and primary and secondary schools across the county, many of them are closed. But in some cases they have actually been allowed to open.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for bringing us that. Let's go to Sligo now. John Lynch is a news journalist with Ocean FM. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
I mentioned to Gerry there that Sligo wasn't included in the red warning. He explained why that happened. What was it like in Sligo?
Yeah, it was something that's been a major talking point here in the office this morning. And in Sligo, just like a lot of the other counties where the warning was issued for longer periods of time, I'm afraid it took a right old battering. Now, thankfully, we have no reports of any serious injuries coming in as of yet this morning. We're in contact with all the major Garda stations in the region, and thank goodness we seem to have escaped without any serious injury. However, the major issues here at the moment would be falling trees. A number of roads blocked, Claire, right throughout the region, some main roads and indeed quite a lot of secondary roads as well. From speaking to a number of the emergency services that would have been working through the night, our understanding is that in the main it was fire crews who were out. They were trying to clear main roads to the best of their ability, and as the daylight then arrived this morning, more council crews have been dispatched to other areas. However, it will take a period of time before the debris is cleared in a lot of areas. They're prioritising some of the main roads as we speak, but really on secondary roads and maybe roads that wouldn't have as much traffic, it could take a little bit longer. Mm. On top of all of that, the other big issue that we're experiencing here in the northwest, Clare, and indeed it's very much keeping in tandem with a lot of the rest of the country as well, is that there are major power outages in areas such as Killooney, where we're broadcasting from, and Manor Hamilton and County Leitrim, and as you've been hearing, right up as far as South Donegal in the likes of Ballyshannon, Bundoran. Major power outages have been reported there. We've been in touch with the ESB today. They have told us they have deployed a number of crews now who are assessing what the damage is going to be like, but it could be a period of time before power is going to be restored to all regions throughout the northwest region. Mm-hmm. One other interesting piece of information that's just materialised over the last couple of minutes as well is that the lack of ESB and the shortage of power there is also impacting some wastewater treatment plants in the North Leitrim area, in particular in areas such as Tullahan and Kinlaw, and areas such as that in Glenaid in North Leitrim. So there's some concerns there in relation to maybe the wastewater systems down in that particular part of the world. But really, everybody in some ways counting our blessing that we've managed to get away without any serious injuries, but a number of schools closed throughout the region, again mainly due to the lack of electricity mm-hmm. and power going into these facilities. So certainly okay. the region will be counting the cost for the next day or so.
All right, John, thank you very much. And I'm sure you're very glad of your generator there at Ocean FM, allowing you to carry on broadcasting. That's John Lynch. Declan Cassidy is a filmmaker who was on flight FR555 from Dublin to Manchester, which was diverted to Paris amid the storm. Declan, so you arrived at Manchester Airport yesterday at 10:30 in the morning. What time did you get home?
Well, we were flying from Manchester actually to Dublin, but we did a couple of trips across. But it was after midnight, probably when I got to the house, it was 2:00 in the morning.
Okay, so take us through that journey then. You left Manchester, and what happened then?
Yeah, so we were an hour and a half late leaving Manchester, and we'd had a gate change, so there was already an air of tension, and we knew there was a storm. And we'd seen planes cancelled. So it was quite a somber trip across. And then we arrived into Dublin. Everything went fairly smoothly until we started to descend. And then we went into a long, long holding pattern. And we could see other aircraft circling around as well. And then when we caught sight of the Irish Sea, I think that's when I started getting rather nervous, because I've never seen it. I travel quite a bit. I've never seen it torn up quite as badly as that. And then finally, we looked like we were coming into final approach, and you could hear the wheels coming out. And then just coming over Port Marnock, it got really, really rough. When I was a child, I used to get car sick, and I'd forgotten until there, because it all came back. I was sweating, and it was really somber.
Frightening. Sounds frightening.
It was. We were really being buffeted around from left and right and up and down, and the plane just drops into pockets. And then there was a surge of engines, and the plane came back up again. So we were told then that the pilot wasn't able to make the landing. So we were heading back to Manchester, and then we got an update to say that Manchester was full of diverted crafts and couldn't take us. So we were going to East Midlands. And there was a kind of a unanimous groan went up there, and people were trying to tell each other where East Midlands Airport was. And then we got another update to say that East Midlands couldn't take us either. So we were going to Paris, which seemed to go down a bit better.
So were people given the option to get off then in Paris?
Yeah, so we were on the tarmac, and people were given the option of getting off. So we knew then that we were going to be on the tarmac for a long time because they'd have to unload baggage. And then the next thing that happened was we were told that if people did get off, the next flight out of Paris wasn't until the following Wednesday.
Oh my goodness!
So we ended up 5 hours on the ground in Paris, and were told that we were going to have another go at landing in Dublin. So we were all on our phones getting messages saying, don't do it. It's getting even worse in Dublin. There was a couple whose child had run out of formula
Difficult.
11 hours altogether on that 35 minute.
And listen, you know, it's just when I think about it, you were close enough to landing in Dublin that you could see the tarmac, and then you ended up in Paris.
Yeah, my car was parked in Portmarnock, so I actually got a glimpse of my car.
No.
Under the flight path, and then we were gone again. Yeah, it was a roller coaster in many senses.
So apart from the parents who were obviously stressed with the baby who had no formula, and there are a lot of people who know what that feels like, were people in good form? Were they okay?
They really were. I was surprised, you know, because it was a long, arduous, it was like flying to Singapore or something, but on a Ryanair flight, you know. It was a long haul experience on a very cramped situation, and nobody prepared for it. But people were really in good humour, you know, and I think that I have to say the crew were amazing, because they've been up since very, very early, you know, before we, you know, they've done other flights before that. And they really did keep the chin up. And, you know, I think the smile was probably a little forced, but they kept it there. You know,
good for them.
They got a big round.
Good for them. And Declan, thanks very much for talking to us about it. I hope you get some sort of a rest today. That's Declan Cassidy, who was on that flight, which was supposed to land in Dublin, but ended up being diverted to Paris. Now, coming up next, following the death yesterday of Ian Bailey, Philip Boucher-Hayes will join me to tell us about the man he came to know.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.